Thank you. Today I'll talk about how to tolerate hardware device failures in software. Thank you. Today I'll talk about how to tolerate hardware device failures in software. This is a project done in collaboration with my colleague Matt and our advisor, Professor Mike Swift. Operating systems communicate with hardware devices using drivers, and many of these drivers assume the device to always behave properly. For example, if you look at a piece of code from a fairly common network driver, we can see here that the driver code is reading a device register and waiting for it to be set to a particular value. If the device does not return the correct value, then the system can hang indefinitely. We define such code instances as hardware dependence bugs, where the driver may crash the system if the device does not behave properly. This figure shows another example of a hardware dependence bug. The first line of the code reads in a pointer from the device. In the third line, marked in red, we can see that the pointer is being dereferenced. If the read returns a corrupt value in the first line, then the third line can crash or corrupt the system. Such dangerous code is replete in modern operating systems across different driver classes. And these hardware bugs, they manifest because the driver code assumes that the device will always behave correctly. More specifically, drivers use device data to perform critical branching or while indexing kernel memory. Drivers also tend to ignore minor device failures, which result in significant failures later on or can appear at a much higher level in the software stack. Also, since hardware is always assumed to work correctly and transient error-free, often there are no provisions to detect or perform device recovery. A study from Windows servers from Microsoft shows the scope of this problem. 8% of the system crashes were due to failures in storage or network adapters. However, system administrators later found out that these errors are mostly transient. When these adapters are used with hardened drivers, that is, drivers written correctly such that they perform sanity checks on all hardware inputs, the crashes reduce significantly by 2/3 to just 3%. This example tells us three things. Number one, device failure is a major cause of system failures. Number two, transient device failures are common. And number three, drivers that tolerate device failures can improve system reliability significantly. Existing solutions like safe driver nooks, which either instrument large amounts of driver code or execute drivers in an isolated environment, do not distinguish between software and hardware failures. As a result, they are very heavyweight for this particular problem, and they are not deployed. To solve these problems, we present Carburizer, which is a lightweight system to detect hardware failures and perform recovery. It consists of two components. The first component is a static analysis tool which can detect and fix hardware dependence bugs and generate missing error reporting information. It also consists of a runtime which can fix interrupt-related failures and can also perform transparent online recovery. This is the outline of my talk. I'll talk about the background of the problem. Then I'll talk about the three components of our solution, which is hardening drivers, reporting errors, and runtime fault tolerance. I'll mostly be talking about hardening drivers in this talk and briefly touch upon the other two. I'll also discuss the overhead of a solution before I conclude. Hardware unreliability stems from the fact that modern CMOS devices are prone to hardware failures. Amongst common sources, errors occur due to device wear out and insufficient burn-in causing bit flips, stuck adds, where a single bit is flipped transiently or for extended times. There are also bridging faults where adjacent pairs of bits are electrically mated, producing an undesirable logical OR or logical AND. Computers are also used in diverse environments. As a result, electromagnetic interference and radiations can cause hardware errors. Modern embedded firmware have significant logic and consist of up to 1 million lines of code. As a result, bugs in them also manifest as hardware misbehavior. As a result, these hardware problems cause errors which result in transient or extended corruption in driver inputs from device registers. And they, as a result, cause timing errors, stuck interrupt lines, or unpredictable DMA in the driver. To address these problems, operating system vendors lay out certain recommendations for driver developers on how to write driver code. This can be classified into four broad classes. The first is to validate. Drivers should validate all input coming from the hardware. The second is timing. Drivers should ensure all device operations occur in finite time and are synchronized with driver operations. Third is the driver should appropriately report all device failures to the system administrator or to the system log. And finally, vendors also lay out certain guidelines on how drivers should perform device recovery. The goal of our tool, Carburizer, is to automatically implement as many recommendations as possible. To reiterate our solution, we perform static analysis on driver code during the build process to produce a kernel binary which checks hardware inputs and contains error reporting information. The hardened kernel binary driver with the Carburizer runtime ensures that the driver can tolerate stuck interrupts or interrupt swarms and can transparently recover from OS failures, from device failures, I'm sorry. The resultant systems consist of a hardened driver which will detect a failure before corruption happens and trigger recovery. The result is a much more improved reliability against the face of transient hardware failures. I'll now talk about how we perform driver hardening. The goal of Carburizer here is to take a regular commodity driver and perform static analysis to detect and fix hardware dependence bugs. Hardening a driver means to ensure that the driver sanitizes all input from device before using it in critical control or data paths. If the driver does not perform these checks, Carburizer automatically inserts these checks and triggers a generic recovery service if the check fails. In terms of types of checks performed, Carburizer is able to find places in driver where the system waits infinitely for a device to enter a particular state or uses device data to perform unsafe array or pointer arithmetic. It also fixes code that invokes system panic when the driver is in an unexpected state, which is a common bad programming practice. To find sensitive code described in the previous slide, Carburizer implemented in SIL performs these actions in two passes. The first pass is to identify tainted variables in the driver code. Tainted variables are those variables which contain data directly or indirectly from the device and need to be checked. They are similar to the definition of tainted variables in security because here too their use is risky. I'll show here with an example how we identify tainted variables. Carburizer consults a table of functions known to perform I/O, such as readl for memory mapped I/O or inb for port I/O. Initially, Carburizer marks all heap and stack variables that receive results from these variables, these functions as tainted. Carburizer then propagates taint to variables that are computed from or are aliased to the tainted variables. We also propagate taint through return values. The output of the first pass is a table containing all variables and functions that are tainted. In the second pass, we use this table to find the risky uses of these variables. As an example, one of the analysis in second pass consists of detecting control paths that wait forever for a particular input from the device. For each loop, Carburizer computes the set of conditions that cause the loop to terminate through while clauses or conditional break, return, or go to statements. If all conditions are hardware dependent, then the loop may iterate infinitely when the device misbehaves. Here we show a simple case detected by the tool in the AMD network driver, which can hang the system if the device does not set the register to a particular value. While this is a simple example, our analysis can detect complex examples that are not obvious by eyeballing and may not be caught during manual code inspection. Examples of such code include loops with case statements or loop with nested function calls. Here we see a complex example where device read is called indirectly from these loops. It's a really long loop with a switch statement thrown in at the end, and it's not very obvious looking at the code that this is a hardware dependence bug. Carburizer can propagate taint via return values and can detect such bugs. In the second pass, we also implement analysis to detect if any tainted variable or combination of tainted variables is used to perform unsafe array or pointer arithmetic. When range of a device variable falls outside array bounds, or when dereferencing a random memory location, an incorrect reference can lead to reading an unmapped address or corrupt adjacent data structures. We can see here in this example that the driver reads in a variable from the device and uses it as an array index without doing any bounce check on the variable. This can crash the system if the memory refers to an unmapped address in the kernel. We now see the results of running Carburizer over the Linux kernel. We ran Carburizer over the Linux 2.6.18 kernel driver tree. It analyzed and built 6,300 driver source files consisting of 2.8 million lines of code in just 37 minutes. We tried to detect hardware dependence bugs in as few code passes as possible. We also detect existing validation code, like timeout code in infinite loops, array bounce checks, and not null checks. This is to improve the accuracy of our results. The details of these are in the paper. This table shows the results of our analysis on the Linux kernel across different driver classes. Overall, we are able to find approximately 992 bugs at the false positive rate of just 7.4%. While we implement analysis to detect false positives, some false positives remain because drivers perform validation differently. For example, some drivers perform timeout validation in a different function called from the loop. There may also be more bugs in the driver than reported by us because Carburizer tracks taint by function return variables, but not via procedure arguments. The results suggest that modern drivers do a poor job of avoiding hardware bugs and are susceptible to crashes in the face of transient hardware failures. Carburizer can detect these hardware dependence bugs for the developer. Finding bugs is valuable, but reliability does not increase until the bug is fixed. This is important because hardware dependence bugs occur infrequently and cannot be detected via regular stress testing. Hence, Carburizer also fixes the detected bugs automatically. To fix these bugs, for example, the infinite loops, we insert timeout code long enough for any device to respond. For unsafe array references, when array bounds can be determined statically, Carburizer computes them and inserts a suitable bounce check. For dynamic array bounds and pointers, valid values are not known, but still Carburizer inserts a not null check. When any of these checks fail, Carburizer invokes a generic recovery service. This is an example of a driver fixed by Carburizer. Carburizer detects the infinite loop and triggers the recovery functions after a timeout of 2 clock ticks. The code inserted by Carburizer can never harm the system because we wait long enough for any device to respond. For loops that sleep while they iterate, we wait even longer. Here is another example of a driver fixed by Carburizer. Carburizer detects the risky use of array index and adds a bounce check after determining the size of array statically. Again, the code inserted by Carburizer can never harm the system because even if this is a false positive, there is only an extra overhead of an additional bounce check. We now look at the recovery service that is used by Carburizer. We leverage past work on shadow drivers to perform recovery as they conceal failures from applications and operating systems. A shadow driver is a driver-independent kernel agent that monitors and stores the state of the driver. In case of a failure, it can clean up the failed driver and recover it to its old working state transparently. Unlike previous work, our implementation of shadow drivers does not depend on any isolation mechanism like Nooks and avoids any performance penalty that it could impose. We do not need an isolation mechanism because failures are detected before any corruption propagates in the system. To empirically validate Carburizer, we performed fault injection tests on 2 different network drivers. It is difficult to simulate failures for many different network drivers because it is difficult to get hold of different devices with specific chipsets having the hardware dependence bugs as detected by Carburizer. With the devices with driver bugs at our disposal, we injected hardware faults with a simple fault injection tool that modifies the return values of in and readl functions transiently to simulate a transient device failure. With the original driver, the system completely crashed due to fault injection. With hardened driver, in each test, the driver quickly detected the failure and triggered the recovery service. After a short delay, as the driver recovered, it returned to the normal function transparently without interfering with the applications. Therefore, carburizer failure detection and transparent recovery can work well for transient device failures. I'll now discuss how we generate missing error reporting information. On many occasions, drivers fail silently and do not report device errors. But operating systems and hardware vendors recommend monitoring hardware failures to allow proactive device repair or replacement. For example, the SolarAIS fault management architecture feeds error reported by device drivers into a diagnosis engine and recommends a high-level action such as repairing or replacing a device. The goal of Carburizer here is to detect conditions in the driver where there is a device failure and to add a reporting statement unless the driver is already reporting these failures. To insert reporting statements at places where the driver already detects device failures, Carburizer implements analysis to detect code paths which time out from a loop due to a device error or return a negative error constant due to a device error. It also inserts error reporting information where driver jumps to a common cleanup code due to a device error. For example, in the code snippet shown here, the driver correctly detects a timeout loop but does not report it. Carburizer automatically inserts a reporting statement. Carburizer also detects existing reporting information implemented in the original driver by looking for calls to functions that contain string messages as arguments. As we can see here in this example, the network driver detects a read failure. Carburizer detects existing reporting code and does not add an additional reporting statement. To evaluate our error reporting techniques, we resorted to a manual analysis of code generated by Carburizer and compared the actual versus reported device errors. While there are no false positives, Carburizer is able to detect most errors and miss few of them. These false negatives, they exist due to the fact that drivers detect device errors but do not flag any particular variable or do not return any negative error constants. Also, in few cases, error values are returned by out parameters, which the analysis of Carburizer does not track. Overall, Carburizer detected and fixed a total of 1,600 unreported device failures. Many of these are low-level device failures, which if not reported, will make it difficult for the administrator to nail down the problem. Carburizer thus improves fault diagnosis by promptly detecting these failures. I'll now discuss the runtime fault tolerance aspect of our solution. Carburizer runtime detects failures that cannot be detected through static modifications of driver code. These are missing and stuck interrupts. Missing interrupts happen when the driver expects an interrupt from the device that never arrives. As a result, this can make the device inoperable. Stuck interrupts happen when the device generates too many interrupts, which hangs the system because no useful work is done by the system. To understand the problem of missing interrupts, consider a request that arrives from the OS to the driver. The driver code executes and calls the device functions. The device performs I/O and interrupts the driver to continue or complete the I/O. If this interrupt is not generated, the I/O does not complete and the device becomes inoperable. To detect and solve this problem, we need to detect when the device should generate interrupts and is not doing so. To determine this, we monitor the driver activity by reference bits of the driver code pages. If the driver code is executed and these bits are set, then in a particular amount of time, the device should generate interrupts, else the device may be missing interrupts. In this case, Carburizer itself invokes the driver interrupt function. Carburizer also checks the return values of this invocation to reduce false invocations and increase useful work done by carburizer. If the invocation actually handled a missing interrupt, then carburizer increases invocation frequency, else exponentially reduces it. The dynamic polling works well to reduce frequency of spurious interrupt invocation and increases the frequency of useful work done by carburizer. The carburizer runtime also detects stuck interrupts, which will cause the device to never lower the interrupt line and consequently hang the system. This is detected when a driver's interrupt handler has been called too many times. Carburizer recovers here by disabling the interrupt and calls the driver polling function as described in the previous slide. Obviously, polling reduces the device throughput as shown in the figure. For example, for the disk case, the throughput falls by 50%. However, it is still better than a completely hung system due to a stuck interrupt line. Carburizer thus ensures system and device make forward progress. I'll now discuss the overhead of our solution. To determine the performance overhead of carburizer, we perform network throughput tests on regular and carburized versions of network drivers. Network is most sensitive to performance, and these tests can help us know what is the cost of carburizing. On the y-axis, we have the throughput, and on x-axis, we have two different devices. And for each device, we show the TCP sent throughput for a native kernel and a carburizer kernel with the modified network driver. The network throughput with carburizer is within 0.5% of the native performance. This figure shows the CPU overhead of using carburizer. On y-axis, we have the CPU utilization, and on x-axis, we have two different network devices. For each device, we show the native kernel performance, the carburizer kernel with recovery and without recovery. The CPU utilization increases 5 percentage points for one particular driver. The extra CPU comes due to the monitoring for the recovery service, which is the shadow driver. If we just use carburizer to perform static bug fixing, then there is no runtime cost with using carburizer. Therefore, there is no performance overhead and very little CPU overhead from hardened drivers and automatic recovery. To summarize, vendors recommend driver developers to consider the significant unreliability in practice. However, incorporating a feature that does not affect functionality or is captured by stress testing is very easy to miss for the driver developers. We presented Carburizer, which is a low overhead reliability solution which implements these recommendations automatically, which do not require any semantic information about the device or any hardware support. To conclude, Carburizer improves system reliability without introducing new OS subsystems, programming languages, or execution environments, and does so by simply tolerating hardware device failures in software. Thank you. With that, I'll take questions. So the developers can take their regular driver and run through Carburizer and find a list of bugs. So either they can fix those bugs, for example, for the pointer case where the valid values of pointer are not known, then they better fix those bugs. But if for system administrators, when they have the driver as is, they can just run our tool, it will automatically fix these bugs and it can be deployed. Yeah.
Have you thought about transient errors in the process that actually execute the driver and whether your system can help in those cases?
So the question is about transient errors in processor?
Yeah, like clock errors.
So when you have a transient error in a processor, I mean, even the code execution would fail. So that is not the problem we are trying to solve. But if I was to solve that problem, then probably I'll offload all my data processing on that faulty CPU, faulty core. Well, I'm not aware of the failures in processors, but device failures, as I showed the Microsoft data, it's fairly common, and transient failures are common. If you have a CPU failure, you know, then you cannot trust anything. There's no, you cannot even trust that whether the check will, whether the check will execute correctly. So that's not the problem we're trying to solve.
Next question. Apparently, this is from the University of Cambridge. Do you have a rough feel of how many of the bugs you found be used by a malicious device to perform a code injection time on the operating system? Did you find any that you think was
used? So the question is, whether any of these bugs are security bugs.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have this information, but some of the infinite loop bugs, probably you can look, it's very easy to hang the system. So I would say that you can use some of these bugs to maliciously hang the system. But we can talk more about this offline, I'd say. So I said we have 7.4% of false positives, but even that is a pretty low number. So we actually track when the variable becomes tainted, when it is reinitialized. We also try to check existing validation code, existing not null checks. And if you see, our analysis is also very simple. We only track taint by return variables. We do not track taint by procedure arguments. So I believe the combination of two gives us this low false positive rate of 7.4%.